It's time for Theology Mix! Theology Mix is a ministry designed to bring church life and theological thought to the front of the line, as Jesus Christ should be the priority within all our spheres of influence. At Theology Mix, you'll find an open forum to discuss and debate Christian ideas and biblical interpretations, be refreshed by the many dedicated authors within the site. And coming soon will be the Theology Mixer radio show, where host Scott McCausey will bring the Theology Mix contributors and theologians to debate the issues and share their passions. Until then, enjoy an archive blast from Scott's program, Christian Devotion Speak Up, a show dedicated to testimony and encouragement. Enjoy the show and share the link. This is TheologyMix.com. This is Scott McCausey, and I've had tonight's guest on my target list for a number of years. As many listeners well know, I live in St. John's, Michigan, where Michigan State University is about 20 minutes away, and I watched a young man by the name of Kirk Cousins in the comfort of my living room throw touchdown after touchdown pass. More than that, this is a guy who gives the credit of these gifts to God. Kirk Cousins, welcome in.
Well, thanks for having me on.
It's a blessing to have you on tonight, and like I do each and every week, we share the testimonies of our guests, and we start at the very beginning. Tonight I want to be the same way. I'd love for you to share a bit about growing up, I believe, in the Chicago suburbs. Was this a Christian-believing home, a sports-loving home? Share with our audience.
Yeah, my dad has been in the ministry for many, many years, and grew up in a home where my parents were both home and raised my older brother, my sister, and I to learn what it means to walk in the truth of the Bible and to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So from a very young age, we were raised in a Christian home, and that was a major blessing that would prove to serve me well when I went off to college and spent 5 years at Michigan State. So very grateful and thankful for the family that God has blessed me with and continues to bless me with as they now support me in my pro career.
Amen. Amen. Now, I enjoy football, too, almost to the, you know, the bad extreme, as my brother and I grew up playing one-on-one football in the backyard, and we'd set up special rules to run, and then we'd put objects in the yard that my mom and dad hated, because we'd, you know, use their lawn chairs, and, you know, that was Jeff Chadwick of the Lions, and we'd do these crazy things, but we loved football growing up. Now, I know you have a brother. Did you guys have kind of an athletic rivalry growing up as well?
Certainly, my older brother and I were only 2 years apart, and as a result, we competed against each other in everything we could find, and that usually resulted in a lot of fights and being mad at each other, but it was still a lot of fun, and I think what that did was create a competitive fire inside each of us, and we had a built-in best friend right there at home. We didn't have to look outside of our own home to have somebody to play with, and whether it was basketball or football or baseball or tennis or golf, we were always competing against each other, and usually, being that I was the younger brother, I was the one losing most of the time, but it was a good challenge for me, and I think it helped develop me on my toughness, my competitiveness, and my athleticism, and we're still best friends to this day.
No, that's awesome, and as I mentioned, my brother and I, we would imitate, you know, our favorite NFL players when we were kids, and baseball, you know, we'd grow up and pretend we were our favorite guys doing that as well. Did you have specific guys that were your favorites that maybe you imitated, you know? Here's, you know, whoever dropping back for a pass. Did you guys do that kind of thing, too?
Well, I grew up a Chicago Bear fan, and as much as I loved the Bears and watched all the games, they never really had a Pro Bowl-type quarterback who was a top player in the league year in and year out. So I had to look elsewhere to find a quarterback to emulate. And really, it's just a lot of the same guys that are still in the league, whether it's Tom Brady or Peyton Manning or Drew Brees. I watched those guys when they were in college as a younger kid, and then through middle school and high school, watched them in the pros. So it's neat to be able to play against them now and watch them much closer.
Ah, yes.
I really enjoyed following quarterbacks of all levels throughout the years, and I tried to study as many guys as I could and pick up different little nuances in each guy's game and add it to my own.
No, for sure. And we're going to talk more about that as we move on in your life, especially as we get close to talking about your book, The Game Changer. But tell us about a move to Holland, Michigan, in a school you really loved because it taught you a lot, not only about football, but about life as well. Tell us about that.
You know, my experience was with Holland Christian for high school. We moved to Holland, Michigan, out of Chicago back in 2001, and I went to most of middle school and high school in Holland at Holland Christian. And I think it was that Christian education, that ability to learn from male role models who were also Christians, whether it was a football coach or a science teacher, and to see their example lived out on a daily basis of what it meant to be a man, but also be a man of God. And while I also had that in my home life with my dad and an older brother, it was great to have modeled for me at school in each and every class that I had. So I believe whether it was chapels or praying before class began or learning in a Bible class or just getting a chance to pick a teacher's brain at lunch, being able to surround yourself in the environment of other Christians and more mature Christians than yourself really laid the foundation, the groundwork for me to be able to then go on to Michigan State and start to pass on what I had learned in my high school years.
You know, it is awesome to have those mentors in place, especially mentors that we look towards within our own family unit, that being your dad, who you already spoke of being as a minister when you grew up. Now, I've had many interviews, heard many of them, where you gave credit to the advice your dad gave you, you know, sound scriptural advice. He gave you, especially at this time in high school in your life, because you had this injury during your junior year. Share about this and share about how your dad really, you know, got into your corner, as is scriptural, again, for fathers to lead their families. Share about that in your life.
Yeah, I broke my ankle my junior year of high school, and that caused me to question whether or not I would play college football, and felt like it was going to hurt my ability to be recruited as a high school football player into college. And my dad told me to cling to the message of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, to trust in the Lord and to trust His plan for my life, and to not lean on my own understanding, but to look to God and trust that if I stay surrendered to Him, He will direct the steps of my life. And those steps may lead me in football, they may not, but just allow God to lead and allow God to direct you, and you won't be disappointed looking back. So I held on to those verses, and sure enough, God has led me on a path that has involved football very much. But seeing His faithfulness through that broken ankle and through some of the doubts that I had, and then seeing it again present itself through my years in college, just proved all the more to me what it means to walk with God, to trust Him, and to live out the truth of those verses and Proverbs. And I was very fortunate to have a dad who would, you know, bring me back to Scripture and remind me of how Scripture can play a vital role in each of our lives and how it can be very relevant to the circumstances we're facing. And, you know, that was just one example of many, many times when my dad used Scripture to show us three kids what we were facing and how Scripture could help us gain wisdom and understanding for how to approach the challenges of life. So that's something that I continue to grow in, and hopefully someday will be a father myself and can do the same to my kids.
Absolutely. And it's important. It's very important. I think a lot of times today that kind of falls by the wayside. Dad gets busy, maybe he's working too many jobs, and might forget about the importance of those that he's called once again to raise up in important ways. And, you know, diving into the Word is so, so important today. And many times growing up, you know, looking back, and I wasn't that firm believer when I was a kid and going through school, and my dad would give me advice, and of course I was bullheaded, and I didn't want to listen. Did it take a while sometimes for you also, Kirk, even though I know you were a believer growing up, but, you know, sometimes getting the advice from our dads is, we kind of get bullheaded at times. Did it take a while sometimes for dad's advice to sink into you?
Well, I think that's the value of role models in other parts of your life, because sometimes when it comes from your dad, you don't want to hear it.
Yes.
Even though he's right, you may listen a little bit closer if it comes from a professional athlete or from a teacher at school or from a coach. And so as much as my dad was right and knew what he was doing, and many of the times we did listen to him, there certainly were other times where it probably was a good thing that I was also surrounded by other male influences who maybe would say the exact same thing, but I would listen to the coach or to the teacher or to the athlete than I would to my own dad. But looking back, my dad had it right on, and he was worth listening to. And thankfully, for the most part, I did heed his advice and was fairly coachable. I don't think you make it in sports unless you're coachable. So I was trying to be coachable not only in sports but also in life. And that's something I want to continue to do and operate with humility, so that when people hopefully are big enough to tell me what I'm not doing correctly, and then hopefully I'm big enough to to listen and take that advice and better myself as a result.
Yes, and you spoke of having mentors surrounding you and having that ability to understand these people when they give you this advice. And as you were just mentioning, a lot of times they were reaffirming what your dad told you, even though at the time you might not want to hurt it. But did this give you even more respect for your dad?
Yeah, I think, you know, most people would say the respect for their parents increases as they get older, and I'm no different. As I've gotten older and begun to mature and realize, you know, the truths of life and the truths of the Bible and the principles my parents were trying to shape into me, and really how difficult it really is to raise kids in the world we're in today, and I start to think about what it would mean someday to have kids of my own, the challenges that it would be to raise kids in this world. Mm. I just have all the more respect for my parents, and I'm sure that will only grow as the years go on. But they worked so hard, made many, many sacrifices, and gave up a lot of their own interests and their own desires so that my brother, my sister, and I could have a tremendous childhood and have all the things that that we wanted to have. So we'll forever be indebted to them and grateful to them for what they gave me and the parenting they provided, especially when you think of all the children who grow up and don't have two parents.
Yes.
and don't have both parents walking with the Lord. I feel very, very, very fortunate and I'm grateful for what God gave me and my mom and my dad.
Yeah, and you are in a unique situation as well. As you mentioned, you've got lots of coaches around you, obviously giving you different pieces of advice. Obviously, when you went pro, I'm sure you had lots of people in the business world giving you specific hints and tips in regards to what you needed to do. And, you know, discerning what was there, what was good advice, what wasn't good advice. The beautiful thing here for all of us, whether we're, you know, a quarterback playing in a big stage or working in a lab or a shop or whatever it might be, we have the Heavenly Father who not only gives advice, but the gift of the Holy Spirit. Describe the gifts God has given you and how this Holy Spirit helps in times of trouble and tough decisions.
Well, I think the Holy Spirit provides discernment and wisdom and an ability to, in the split second, make that decision that is God-honoring. I think that, you know, when you become spiritually mature, you start to make quick decisions without really having to think about what would be God-honoring, but you simply, out of instinct, react in God-honoring ways, whether that's patience or humility or self-control. And I think that's what we're all trying to get to. I think when you're spiritually immature, you don't have that ability to, out of instinct, react in a way that is God-honoring. But many times you say or do something without thinking that you regret later. And the stronger the Holy Spirit can be in your life, I think the more influence it can have in your ability to operate with great self-discipline, great patience, and really display the fruits of the Spirit. Amen. Without really having to try, but displaying those fruits of the Spirit simply because the Holy Spirit is so powerfully working in your life, you simply react in a way that demonstrates those fruits.
Yeah, that's a great example, too. And to have those people around us that can help us mimic that is awesome, too, to be able to see them and live like they're living. So you end up having a pretty good senior season in high school. A couple colleges recruit you. Now, I played high school football, too, and granted, it wasn't that good. But being sought after for a scholarship to play at the next level, whoever the college is, had to have felt pretty good for you. Tell us about this, but then also tell us how a good thing turned awesome when you received a coach from the Big Ten, from Michigan State, Coach D'Antonio. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, I wasn't your typical recruit. You know, people would look at my path and assume that since I played in the NFL now and was a starting quarterback at Michigan State, that I must have been highly recruited out of high school and must have been able to pick from many, many schools who wanted me. And that just wasn't the case. I went to many schools trying to get a scholarship, and many of those same schools that I ended up beating years later as a starting quarterback didn't want me coming to high school, and I would have loved to play for them, but they had no interest in acquiring me with a scholarship, so I had to look elsewhere, and for a while, Michigan State wasn't comfortable offering a scholarship, and I waited for months and months and months, hoping that they might give me a scholarship down the road, and praying that they would, but also understanding that I needed to have another plan if they didn't. And so, much more than the school recruiting me, I found that throughout the recruiting process, I was trying to recruit the school and trying to convince a Michigan State or a Northwestern or an Iowa or a Purdue, I was trying to convince them to offer me a scholarship. And as God would have it, only Michigan State ended up extending one, and it ended up becoming very clear that God was leading me there. which will become a great comfort as the years passed. I started to wonder, you know, what God's plans were for me at Michigan State. I could take comfort in the fact that he led me there, and he opened the door, and then to have Coach D'Antonio coming in at the same time that I arrived, it made for a great partnership, and was very thankful to play for such a great coach.
Interestingly enough, too, you said you shared at the beginning you grew up kind of liking Iowa. I saw some pictures in your book even where you were wearing a jersey for the Hawkeyes. When you got to Michigan, did it take a while to change your colors over to green and white?
You know, I did grow up a big fan of the black and gold, and that was my team, and
yes.
I name all the players from back in the 90s and early 2000s, followed them very closely, and to some degree, still have my heart is still a little bit with the Hawkeyes, but obviously, once I signed that scholarship with Michigan State, I was bleeding green and white and was committed to the Spartans, and, just fully devoted there, and, you know, blood runs a lot thicker than your alumni, so even though I went to Iowa, she was very, very much a green and white Spartan fan ever since I enrolled at Michigan State, and now my family and our home are just filled with green and white.
That's so cool. Was it bittersweet? I mean, playing in the Hawkeyes the first time, and you're starting. Here's the team you grew up watching and loving on. Tell us about that.
Well, I think it was one of those moments where you start to stop and look back at where God has taken you.
Yes.
And you realize that the team you grew up cheering for and dreaming of playing for or dreamed of playing at that level, and now here you are, and you can stop and look across the line of scrimmage and see that opposing team that you're playing is the team you grew up cheering for play in front of a packed stadium. It really is a moment where you start to say, wow, you know, God is good, and he really has taken me much farther than even my own dreams thought I could take myself. And I think that's the truth in all of our lives, is that God wants to do some incredible things, and he wants to really do unexplainable things.
That's right.
And we have to partner with him. We have to be willing to surrender to him and give ourselves over to him, and not do it our way, but do it his way.
Yes.
And I believe that when we do that and really surrender and fully give our lives over to him, he says thank you, and then he starts to do the unexplainable, and he starts to do the incredible. And certainly through my football career, I have felt that in my own life, and playing against Iowa was one of those kind of moments.
You know, living outside of ourselves and our own humanness and allowing God to have the control, it's very difficult for many people, and still is, even for a lot of believers. But I know that once that happens, just awesome things begin to happen all around us, and we can just see God at work. So I remember the debates at work, Kirk. Should the Spartans play Nichols, or should they play you? And I have to say that most were in the Nichols camp, except for yours truly. Tell us about the stress and the pressure to perform well in this, you know, tricky environment.
Well, our quarterback coach at one point had told both Keith and I that he had never been a part of a position competition or a quarterback competition where both players were as talented as Keith and I.
Yes.
And at that point, we didn't really realize how talented we were. We just assumed that everybody was this good. And all I had known since I arrived at Michigan State was competition between myself and Nick Foles for a backup role, and then when Nick Foles transferred with Keith and I for the starting role. And Nick Foles is now in the NFL, and Keith probably could be in the NFL as well. And he played quarterback at Michigan State instead of moving to wide receiver. So when you look at the competition I was going up against, these guys were not JV or B players. These guys were A-plus players who had a lot of ability, which made that competition that much more stressful and that much more challenging. And it caused me to really question what God was doing and if he wanted me to be playing football at Michigan State. But he had a plan in all of it. It certainly wasn't the easiest thing for me, and his plan, I think for many of us, is not the easiest plan, but it's a good plan, and it's the best plan, and it challenged me. I think it grew me as a person and really stretched me. There were many times where I wondered if God could have given me a little more smooth path or an easier path, but that wasn't what he had for me, and as a result, I think it's toughened me and gotten me ready for the challenges I face as an NFL player.
Yeah. Trials, we all face them of many kinds. Scripture's clear that we're all going to. So here you are, playing for the Spartans, wearing the green and white. And I'm going to allude back again to me being a sophomore in high school, and I was mysteriously brought up from the JV to the varsity and just shocked. Wasn't supposed to happen. I didn't even go to the camps. I was playing because my buddies did, and the coach calls me in and tells me I'm going to be moving up to the varsity. They had an injury and need somebody to play a specific position. I can remember again, just complete and utter shock, driving home with my new varsity uniform on to share with my parents, who knew I was just doing it to be with friends, and just the feeling that is so awesome, which can't even compare to the feeling that you have standing in front of 70,000 people at a Spartan-packed stadium. Share about that feeling.
Well, when you're the starting quarterback and you stand in front of 75 or 80,000 fans and then maybe a million or more on television, you start to feel very small and you start to feel somewhat helpless. I mean, you really feel like there's a lot on your shoulders, and I wondered if I was big enough to carry it. And the answer really was that I wasn't big enough to carry it. You know, with God on my side, I could have confidence that he was going to be there walking with me, whether I threw an interception to lose a game or a touchdown pass to win a game, that God was sovereign and that he would be in control. So I took comfort in the fact that whatever happened in my football career or whatever happened in each individual game, that God would walk with me and many times carry me through those successes and failures. And so I looked to him, and I think that you know, as the pressure increased, as the stakes increased, as the number of fans in the stands increased from high school to college, I don't think it made me feel any more confident or cocky. I think, if anything, it humbled me more and caused me to realize my desperate need for God, and that it could be pretty embarrassing if I did start to fail on the football field. So it made me want to stay that much closer to my walk with the Lord.
Interestingly enough, I want to talk about one of the specific trials. I watched an interview that you did at Central Westland Church where you discussed giving God the glory through thick or thin. And you were sharing that a particular game against Notre Dame was kind of be your coming out game, so to speak, you know, where you were going to put yourself, quote unquote, on a map, you know, to show the Spartan Nation, here, you know, this is the reason I'm in the spot that I'm on. And you find yourself running the 2-minute drill at the end of the game with a chance to lead the Spartans to victory. Share about this.
Yeah, it was a dream come true for me to play at Notre Dame Stadium, and I was only a sophomore, and it was my first game starting on the road, and felt like if I could play well this game, that not only maybe could I become the starting quarterback for good at Michigan State and the competition could be over, but I could also, you know, endear myself to the Michigan State faithful and really start to be known as the guy around Michigan State as the quarterback and a successful quarterback. And I played well that day, but as God would have it, at the end of the game, I threw an interception that cost our team the game and had to listen to the sound of 80,000 people cheering for my failure. But walking off the field that day, I didn't feel too good, but I remember thinking a thought of gratitude that God was the foundation of my life and that football was not the foundation of my life, because if it had been, you start to throw game-ending interceptions, the foundation of your life begins to crumble. And I was very grateful that, you know, I made my faith the most important thing in my life, and that Jesus Christ wasn't going to change anytime soon. So despite my failure on that football field that day, God had bigger plans for me, and he used that event to still bring glory to himself. And despite that event, he was able to still allow me to orchestrate plans to be the starting quarterback, and he had much better days ahead for me. And I think that was a testing ground and a proving ground to teach me some lessons before I then went on to have some more success in Michigan State.
Yes, and we talk about that quarterback controversy at the beginning with Keith Nichols, but your senior year, everything was brought into perspective in a game against Wisconsin where you threw this touchdown pass with the score tied and no time left to Keith. And I don't know, I just thought it was so cool looking back at the whole picture of your career in college, and here you are hitting your comrade. We talk about the low point in the last question. Now share about some of the high points, like this one, and also talk maybe a little bit about camaraderie.
Well, it was a special game. We were back and forth all night, one of the more exciting games I had ever played in, and there's a lot of talent on that football field. A lot of guys would go on to play in the NFL, and at the end of that game, certainly the Hail Mary was called, and I think we as an offensive group had a sense of belief in the play working simply because we practiced it repeatedly, and anything can happen, and I knew we had some pretty good receivers who could be down there underneath the ball coming down, maybe come down with it, but didn't really expect it to, off of a tip, be able to be caught, and certainly, you know, I had no idea that it was going to be as close as it was, but Keith did an excellent job of grabbing that football and reaching as best as he could, you know, across the goal line, and somehow, you know, one way or another, we ended up a matter of inches over the goal line, and it was one of those magical moments that you really have a hard time ever duplicating, and people who were there that night will talk about it for a long time, but one game that I'll always remember, and I think the fact that Keith was on the receiving end of that touchdown pass and was able to be the one that won the game for us made it that much more special.
Yes. You know, football's not an individual sport. You're surrounded with other players that play very important roles. The linemen, the receivers, the running backs, everybody has a job to do, and when those jobs aren't completed effectively, you know, the play doesn't work as it's supposed to. So it forces people within that team, within the offense or the defensive scheme, to really play together, play unified, to understand each person's ins and outs. Again, talking about the importance of camaraderie. Growing up, Kirk, obviously God's given you some talents, but he's also put some cool people around you, even when you're playing this game, hasn't he?
Paul, I think I've been very fortunate to be able to have the teammates and coaches that I've had. And, you know, you're only as good as the guys around you. As a quarterback, you have to surround yourself with talented football players. And I'm only as good as the offensive line protecting me, the receivers catching for me, and the running backs running the ball. So, thankfully, I've had great football players around me that's helped me be a much better quarterback. And off the field, it's much the same way. You know, you're only as good as the people you surround yourself with, whether it's social decisions you make or academics or workouts. You know, all those things are very much impacted by the people you hang with. You know, are you going to be on time? Are you going to make good decisions? Are you going to work hard? Are you going to stay out late? All those kinds of questions you have to ask yourself and decide on a daily basis. Many times are influenced by who you're around and what are the people who you're around doing. And whether it was a college roommate or high school buddies, the guys I've been around have made wise decisions, have made decisions that honor God, and as a result, it's really helped me to make decisions that honor God, and they pushed me in a direction that wants to honor God. So I would encourage anybody listening to be really considering seriously and thoughtfully who they hang with, the amount of time they spend with them, and whether those people are bringing them closer to their walk with the Lord or further away. And if they're bringing them closer, to make sure they spend as much time with those people as they can, and if they feel like they're drifting further away from the Lord because the people they hang with, to start to seriously think about what it would look like to remove those people from their life.
Amen. Amen. Fast forward, your NFL stock. Someone's going to draft you. Was this a big couple days at the cousin's house, and did you have a dream team that you were hoping to go to? I mean, was it your Detroit Lions here in Michigan?
You know, I didn't really have a dream team. Wasn't the Lions, even wasn't really the Bears. I thought it would be cool to stay in the Midwest, somewhat close to home. I think that would be the one benefit to being in the Michigan or Chicago or Ohio area. But for me, I just wanted to keep an open mind. And what was funny was, as much as I did keep an open mind and was expecting to go anywhere, I was still shocked when the Redskins picked me, and really caught me off guard. Did not expect to go to a place where they already also drafted another rookie quarterback.
Yes.
Such a high pick, and I felt like kind of a hopeless spot to end up and to be a part of the Redskins, where they already had a quarterback my age who was ahead of me. It just seemed kind of hopeless, seemed like it was a dead end. But again, I had to go back to Proverbs 3:5-6 and trust that God had a plan and that God was doing something, and I still don't know what his plans are. I'm in the middle of it right now, and unlike Michigan State, I can't quite yet look back and see what God was doing, but I'm in the middle of it and trusting his plan and walking through it. But yeah, that draft day was a unique day that I'll remember the rest of my life. It didn't exactly work out how I planned, but as long as God was in it, I was going to be content with the result.
Yeah, and I listened to an interview that you did, and actually I watched a YouTube clip with ESPN, and as soon as your name was picked, I mean, the controversy begins with all those guys up on the panel, and here's Kirk Cousins going to the Redskins. What does this mean? They've already drafted, you know, RG3, and the experts were going on and on about this, and the funny thing was, as I'm watching this, the draft's still going. Other people are still getting chosen, and here you are finding yourself once again in a quarterback controversy of sorts, but this is the right fit. This is where God wants you to be, and some pretty neat things have happened at Washington, haven't they?
Yeah, it's been a great first year for me. Obviously, our rookie year went very well. Our team made the playoffs. Robert won Rookie of the Year. I was able to start a game and have a great couple of appearances when I went in. And just have really enjoyed being a part of the Redskins. I've really enjoyed my coaching staff. I think that the coaches I play under are doing a great job of developing me and preparing me for hopefully a long and successful NFL career. And I've enjoyed the teammates that I'm around, and I enjoy being in Washington, D.C. I think it's a great city with a lot of a lot of potential, you know, at the great church that I've been able to plug into. So for so many reasons, I think it's a great place. Now, am I the starting quarterback making millions and millions like a Robert Griffin? No, I'm not. But hopefully, you know, someday I can get a chance to be a starting quarterback. And for now, I'm in a great spot to learn and grow and develop. And I do believe God has me right where He wants me, and it's my job not to to worry about where He has me, but more importantly, to be content with where He has me, and to continue to develop myself and grow closer to Him as His plans unfold in my life.
Yeah. You know, I've got to be honest and straight up, just never been a gigantic Redskin fan. I'm working on it, Kirk. I'm working on this aspect because I just love watching you there. What are the chances you get to go to, you know, my favorite team, and it sounds like one of your favorite teams, the Bears, someday?
You know, I wonder, obviously, I sometimes wonder where I might end up if I get the chance to start, because it certainly doesn't look like it would be with the Redskins, and we'll see what happens, but being that Chicago is so close to my hometown, and I grew up a Chicago Bear fan, and understand a lot of the tradition there, I would love to be a Chicago Bear, and would see that again as a dream come true, much like the rest of my football career has been. But for right now, you know, the Washington Redskins are a great organization with just as much, if not more, history than the Chicago Bears, which is hard to believe, and feel like the fan base in D.C. does an outstanding job of supporting us and being there week in and week out. So, you know, if I'm not a Chicago Bear, even though that was the team I grew up rooting for, I think that the Redskins are an awfully good place to be.
Yeah, that's cool. Good answer, too. You know, athletes play a big role on this stage, this game, and they have a huge opportunity to make a difference for the kingdom of God through leading by example both on and off the field. And oftentimes you probably have to have, you know, fairly thick skin because I'm sure you have those questions about what you're doing and the way that you're living your life, but you're living with integrity, and that has to be complimented. Do you find respect, ridicule, or both when it comes to living with integrity and proclaiming your faith from the position you're in?
I haven't experienced much ridicule. I think that when you live with integrity, people take notice. I think when you live with integrity, it's important to do so in a way that's authentic and real, and that you're not shoving it in people's faces. And I've always encountered people who respect those that live with integrity and think highly of those that live with integrity. And I think when you choose to live with integrity, or you choose to take a stand for your faith, I believe people are starting to look even closer to see where your weaknesses are and watch if you're going to fall. And that's when it becomes all the more important to walk closely with the Lord. But I find that while it may feel strange to walk with integrity, you may feel like you're not part of the group, or you're out on the outskirts of the social circles, I also believe that deep down there's a lot of respect from the other people, and I think long term there's quite a bit of blessing. So while it may not feel right to live with integrity in the short term, I believe long term it really does actually put you even more in good standing with other people.
Amen. Do you ever have a chance to talk to, you know, another quarterback that's out there that does similar things and living big with his faith, Tim Tebow, about this?
No, I never crossed paths with Tim. Tim's success in the football field goes far beyond mine. You know, Heisman Trophy winner, won two national championships, and was a first-round pick. Those were not accomplishments that I was really even close to accomplishing. But certainly, I've tried to watch Tim's example and again follow him and just be a similar voice to him you know, be confident in my faith. And,
yes.
And I admire Tim for his integrity and the way that he consistently walks in his faith and very authentically, and maybe someday I'll be lucky enough to cross paths with him.
Yeah, I think that'd be cool. You guys would be able to share some pretty neat things, I think. Tell us about the book Through Zonder Kids, Game Changer. We've been working towards this moment. I've got the book in my hands. Very, very well done. I'm enjoying the read. Tell our listeners about what's within this book.
Well, this book came out of an opportunity that I had to speak at the Big Ten Media Days back in 2011. The speech that I gave that day ended up being very popular. It got over 300,000 views on YouTube, and the content in that speech then afforded me the opportunity to write a book and really expand upon what I said in the speech. So I at first was a little hesitant, felt like I'm in the middle of my football career and don't really feel like it's the time to be writing a book, but realized the book was less about me and more about the principles that have helped shape me and guide me, principles that I have from the Bible. So I felt like to spread the truth of Jesus Christ and to spread a biblical principles to people, especially young people, was something I couldn't pass up. So I started writing and putting down my thoughts, and felt like, if nothing else, writing down these thoughts and putting pen to paper would help me in reinforcing those important principles and really teach me, again, what it means to walk with God and what it means to lean on Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. So I knew that, if nothing else, writing this book would be a major benefit in my spiritual walk, but hopefully it can benefit many people, especially young people. And I'm hoping to now get it into the hands of as many middle school, high school, college-age kids as possible. And
amen.
I also do believe there's some good content in there for adults as well.
Absolutely. I'm liking what I've been diving in. As a matter of fact, chapter 10 talks about garbage in, garbage out. And I love the way that you talk about this. I'm going to have you share about it. The thing that popped into my head was something that my son told me the other day. And he's going to college right now here in Lansing, Great Lakes Christian College. And he shared that one of his professors talked to him and said, what you win them with is who you win them to, in discussing, you know, talking to people who might not know who Christ is, and being careful that we don't make this big party time. Hey, let's go do this and let's go check out this latest movie, because remember, the key here is about talking about who Christ is. Tell us about this chapter and your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think it's just important nowadays in our culture, with the way media has grown to be such a major thing and invading all parts of our lives. We have to be very discerning as Christians as to what we expose ourselves to. I think we can use media as a tremendous advantage to spread the gospel and to communicate our faith to other people, but we also need to be discerning as to when media crosses the line and when maybe it is about or shares things that Christians probably should avoid or be careful to expose themselves to too much. So we have to be discerning. I think we need to lean on those more mature and wiser than us to know, you know, what it means to maybe say no to one movie and say yes to another, or say no to listening to a certain artist or style of music, or not style of music, but artist or a certain song, and then to listen to maybe better choice of music instead. So there's all kinds of media and all kinds of ways we can use media for the good, but also ways that that we can abuse media. And I think that as Christians, we need to be wise and cautious to the way we approach it, because like the chapter says, garbage in, garbage out.
Amen. And, you know, social media is huge today, so I think that's important. I love that chapter, and hopefully folks can, when they get their hands on this, definitely can hear the heart of your message within that, because it is important what we listen to, what we view, and Scripture's pretty clear when he talks about that as well. Now, you have a website where our listeners can go, kirkcousins.org. Folks can get their copy of this book. Obviously, they can find it on Amazon, bunches of other places. Just a couple fun questions to end tonight's interview, Kirk. This interview will air week one of preseason, August 6th. It's a Tuesday night, 6 o'clock. I expect you'll get a lot of first-team reps with Robert Griffin continuing to get ready for week one. What do you predict here as you move forward here with the Redskins? We got a Super Bowl in store?
Well, there's certainly high expectations, and I believe that it's hard to get to the Super Bowl unless you set your mind to accomplishing it. So certainly we as Redskins are working towards that. That's the goal. That's what we push towards. And you have to almost expect that kind of success to hopefully get it someday. But at the same time, we know how difficult it is simply to win a game in the NFL. There's so many talented teams. And I know we'll take it 1 week at a time. And hopefully, yeah, we'll still be there in February. But time will tell. But I do believe Coach Shanahan has done a great job assembling a very talented team that I think people will have in the discussion when it comes to playoff time.
Exciting times. I love football season, as I know lots of our listeners are. Now, to end tonight, I have a fun question for you. I always throw something quirky, you know, to our athletic guests just to throw some fun at them. You know, last year I had a gentleman by the name of Frank Murphy on the program. He used to play for the Buccaneers. Very fast guy, played receiver, kick returner. And I asked him, and I kind of gave him my stats, you know, 6 foot, 200 pounds, played ball through high school. Not in bad shape. I still run and whatnot, and asked him what kind of a head start I would need in a 100-yard sprint to see who would win. He laughed, and he said I'd need 95-yard head start, and then we laughed even harder. So here's the challenge. I also was former receiver, defensive back, decent hands. You get to throw me 10 bullets from 20 yards. How many do I catch?
Well, I would take pride in the fact that hopefully I throw a catchable ball. So I would ten. I would recommend you wear gloves, just because your hands aren't going to feel too good afterwards, but I believe you can catch all 10, and I would take pride in the fact that hopefully I throw a catchable ball, a tight spiral, and be accurate, and if you don't catch it the first time, it'll probably hit you right in the face.
So if it's a bit of a duck, too, that's going to cause me problems?
Yeah, I mean, I quarterbacks can make it very tough on receivers if they start to throw ducks or knuckleballs or are inaccurate. So part of you catching the football is my job to make sure it's a catchable ball.
Good point, good point. Well, Kirk Cousins, thanks for joining us tonight on Christian Devotion Speak Up, sharing your heart, and we're going to push Game Changer to as many people as we can find.
All right, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
This show was brought to you today by Scott McCauzy and TheologyMix.com in conjunction with Christian Devotion Speak Up. The thoughts expressed today may not be that of the ministry, but are meant to encourage, uplift, and make you, the listener, think about Christ-centered life and ministry. In Matthew 5:13-17, Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under by people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand and give it light to all the house. In the same way, let your life shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven." We pray you'll be the salt and the light by sharing the link, which not only helps grow this ministry, but the kingdom of God. Until next time, this is Scott McCauzy sharing, God bless your week.